Welcome back from the break. My next guest is Jerry Paulson, who is the founder, executive director, and president of Operation Horses and Heroes Incorporated. Jerry, who is a former U.S. Army NCO and proud veteran, started this not-for-profit in the fall of 2013 for all veterans, active duty service members, healing heroes, and their families. Operation Horses and Heroes is a unique equine therapy program that provides a multi-day, deeply intensive program for the veteran, the active duty service member, the healing hero, and their families. This therapy embraces the power of the horse to help these heroes tackle the challenges of PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, prosthetics, and emotional and social challenges. So we have a great interview lined up for you today, and I'm super excited to welcome Jerry to the show. So hi, Jerry.
Hi, Allison. How are you today?
I am great. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so excited, like I said. So let's dive right in. The first question I like to ask everybody, because we are the official Equine Affair podcast and it's all about horses, is how you personally got started with horses. So can you share that story with us?
It actually started by accident. I was doing a joust in Illinois and with some of my jousting buddies, and we decided that we wanted to do something to honor the veterans because there was so much going on in the veteran world at that time, many years ago. And the idea then came to do the remembrance table, which honors our POWs and MIAs. We got done with that. And afterwards, we got together at the end of the day and said, you know, we need to do something more. So we sat around, me and a couple of other very close friends of mine who are also veterans, and we came up with an idea to do an equine therapy program, not knowing there were already hundreds, if not over 1,000 across the United States. So we went out, we looked at a lot of them, took some of the goods, some of the bads, and we wrote our own.
That's the way to do it. It sounds like you did your research and then came up with a unique idea.
The idea is not neat, unique, but the program certainly is.
Yeah. So let me rewind for a second, because you kind of dropped a bomb on us with the jousting thing. And I think the audience would kick me if I didn't ask you about jousting. So let's talk a little bit about how you got started with jousting on horseback.
At my age, it's probably pretty stupid being over 60. I mean, let's face it. When you get on a horse that weighs that much, you're wearing an 80-pound tin can with 3 degrees of vision, and you run at each other intentionally to get hit in the chest on a stick, there's always something wrong with you, okay? So that's how I got started in that through a friend of mine. Wow. And did it for several years. And we actually participated in one of the jousts as part of Fantasia at Equine Affair Ohio about 8 years ago.
Yes. So I'm so glad you brought that up. You and I talked about that the other day. So it could be that someone in our audience has already seen you and might remember that particular Fantasia where you were jousting for us. I think that's awesome.
We did the joust, and we also did the remembrance table to honor our POWs and MIAs before we started that too.
Wonderful. That's amazing. All right. So back to the main track, but I thought we've got to talk about that. So you said the program's not a unique idea, but that your program is unique. So let's talk about that. What makes your program unique?
What makes Operation Horses and Heroes a little bit different and much more unique than some of the other programs is that, as far as I know, and as far as I can find out so far, we are the only program in the United States that is a multi-day, very intense resiliency therapy program that is for both veterans and active duty and their families. Mm-hmm. All the programs that we have been able to find so far have been just for veterans. Mm-hmm. And we've encompassed anybody who has ever served, veteran or not, veteran or active duty. And we also encourage veterans who, for a variety of unfortunate reasons, have been given a discharge that was either less than honorable or dishonorable, who no longer can get benefits from the Veterans Administration. We openly welcome and encourage them to come to our program.
That's wonderful. I think that is so important, because who knows for what reasons that happened, you know, and they deserve just as much care and attention as the ones who receive honorable discharges, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. So our simple rule of thumb or our simple process is on the registration. As long as you have served our country, you're automatically in the program. No questions asked.
That's wonderful. And I think the other thing is you talked about and their families, because I don't think people realize how much is being sacrificed. You know, of course, there's the active duty or the veteran. They sacrifice so much personally, but then their family also sacrifices a lot.
Just as much, if not more, sometimes. I can remember with several deployments from all of us who have been there, done that, and have that t-shirt, that many times the families are suffering probably more than we are. At least we know what's going on because we're right there on the front lines, but the families have all the worry and the stress in managing the day-to-day of the family back at home while we're trying to do our job, chasing bad guys and doing whatever else we have to do around the world to keep America free.
Yeah, it's different sacrifices, but equally painful, probably.
It is. And as I always have said, you know, the true heroes of the military family are the spouses, the significant others, and the family members, because without them behind us, we can't do our jobs.
Yeah. Yeah. So for our audience who might not know, Operation Horses and Heroes has 8 locations across the country currently, and that's Illinois, Georgia, Michigan, Ohio, Idaho, Wisconsin, Iowa, and Kentucky. And I think you guys are wanting to expand too. Is that right?
That's correct. We're looking at several other locations yet this year for 2021. We're looking at Washington State, Southern California, Texas, and Florida.
Wonderful.
Add to the list.
Yeah, that's great. So really reaching far west and far east.
That's right. We want to be able to do the programs, not just in the, you know, the Midwest, because we're a little bit handicapped because of weather, obviously during the winter months. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that we can reach out and expand as the other areas so we could do the warmer climates in the winter months.
Yeah. So I thought our audience might want to know a little behind the scenes in terms of what your locations look like. What are the staff like? What are the horses like, and where do you source them from? So could you shed a little light on that?
Sure. As far as locations, we partner with facilities anywhere in the country. They can be small independent horse farms, privately owned. They can be larger facilities. They could be equestrian centers. As long as they have 8 or more horses in a covered arena and are willing to host all of us, then we move forward with that partnership. We also get the area community involved for wherever we're at. Let's use Ohio as the example. We've been in Chardon, Ohio for a number of years. We partnered with a private facility that happened to be owned by a military family who had lost their son in Iraq. And we go in, we work with them, and then we work with the local community to get them involved, and they supply a lot of the meals and the volunteer manpower that are needed to put on the program. And it really brings the community together. So for example, in Chardon, we had a local gas station that donated all the ice for the program. We had the local volunteer fire department that donated all the tables and chairs, those types of things. We had another company who donated a tent, a large tent, a landscaping company. So we really try to get everybody involved in the local community, surrounding area. And we encourage all of those businesses, sponsors, and donors to come to the program, to see what we're doing, to interact with our veterans, have a meal with them, stay for the bonfires, and show those veterans who are struggling that a lot of people do care about what they have done and what they're currently doing and going through now. As far as the staff, all but one of the staff currently are veterans. We've all served. I've got a total of 46 plus years right now between my active duty, my reserve time, my guard time, and a part-time position I have right now with the Army. My vice president is an Air Force non-commissioned officer. My treasurer was a Marine Corps pilot. My secretary is currently a full-time practicing veterinarian in the reserves and on her way to Djibouti for her third tour. I've got a Navy lieutenant commander reservist. I've got a brand new second lieutenant who just got her commission in ROTC. I have another board member who was both a Marine and now currently serving in the Texas National Guard. My clinician, who really runs every facet of the program in the arena with the group, is a 14-year Air Force veteran, was a nurse in Afghanistan and Iraq, and also holds her PhD in mental health, is certified in equestrian therapy, and is a survivor herself of attempted suicide. So we've really got a real deep staff. As far as the horses, we use all the horses at all the facilities where we're at. We, as an organization, don't own any. So our program is really in a box, and we can open it at any location in the United States. We find that it's easier to take the program to the veterans than having one central location, because it's so hard for some of them to get to one place, depending on what part of the country they're in.
Right. That there's a lot to unpack there. The first thing I wanted to comment on is I love that you invite the community to take part for practical reasons, but also so that the veterans feel that love and affection from total strangers, that they're coming together and uniting with your program to serve them. I think that probably means the world to some of those men and women.
It does. It's so powerful. We've even had, I had one veteran come up to me after a lunch and he said, "Do you see that lady over there?" And I went, "Yeah." He says, "She sat down and talked to me." I said, "Yeah." He says, "My wife doesn't even do that. She thinks I'm too broken."
Oh, my goodness.
So it is powerful when the community gets involved.
Well, and I think that is hopefully something the audience can take away. Just that simple act of sitting down and talking with someone, you have no idea the impact that you might be having on that person in that moment.
That's correct.
Yeah. The other thing that you talked about was that how your staff all have experience serving, all but one, I think you said. And I think that probably means a whole lot to your audience, the people that you're serving, that you all get it. You have been through this and you know the gamut of what they're dealing with personally, socially, mentally, psychologically.
Yes, it's great because it's, you know, it was created by veterans for veterans. And the old saying goes, you never leave a battle buddy on the battlefield. Well, we don't want to leave anybody on the battlefield back home either.
Yeah, because there are all kinds of battlefields today. And it's almost veterans in active duty, they go off and fight and then they come home and they're often fighting here. It's just different kinds of enemies.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we try to address a lot of that through the community involvement, the support that we get, the support from the partnerships of all the facilities that we've been at around the country, and they've all been just fantastic, is the first word that comes to mind, and so generous with everything that they've offered.
Yeah, and I love that you all partner with existing facilities. So if there's someone out there with a facility that meets the criteria, they could conceivably reach out to you and maybe host your program. Is that right?
They sure can. We're always looking for new partners so we can keep expanding the program.
Awesome.
Always.
So we'll definitely have that information at the end of our interview, but just wanted to plant that seed. If anyone's listening and you wanted to partner, that's a great opportunity right there. So Jerry, let's talk about a typical day. What does a typical day look like in your program for the veteran or the active duty service member or their families?
Well, for the active duty and the veterans and their families, they all get there early in the morning. You know, us military people, we all like to get up early. Well, mm-hmm. Not all, but many of us, but we're all at least used to it while we were on active duty.
Yeah.
But as a veteran, sometimes not so much now. But we start at 8 o'clock in the morning. We have breakfast. After breakfast, they will start with an equine activity. It's just the veterans in active duty together. without the family members. And what we call them, participants. We don't use the word veteran and we don't use the word active duty. Because if I say, hey, I need all my veterans to come over here, what do I do with my active duty and vice versa? We call them participants.
Right.
So they all the participants will meet with our clinician and they will start their first evolution and activity. She will run that activity till it gets to a certain point. And then after that activity, they as a group go to a little private area away from everybody and they do a debriefing, where that's where they really start to peel back the layers of the onion of what everybody is dealing with. After that, they take a break and then they start another activity. And they will do that all the way through lunch. They'll do lunch with their families and the volunteers and any guests that happen to come by. They'll do the same thing throughout the afternoon, then go back and do more evolutions until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 3:30. And then both on Friday and Saturday from 3:30 to 5:30, they as a group will do chores around that facility as a way to pay it forward. We've got a pretty good list of activities from the facility already about what needs to be done, whether it's mending fence, building hitching posts, work around the barns, restaining, repainting anything. We've done all of those things and much more. So they have to give back to the facility as a way to say thank you for letting us invade. Then we'll have dinner on Friday night. On Saturday night after dinner, we usually try to do something special. I've had some of my buddies come over and we've jousted together and did a little fun thing for that. We've had bands. We've had bonfires. We've taken them into town to a local veterans event or a concert. At one of the locations, they happened to have, just by pure coincidence, the Vietnam Memorial Traveling Wall. So we all went in to see that. So we always try to do something fun on Saturday night as a family. We invite all the families to come, all the donors to come, all the sponsors for Saturday night's meal as well. And then on Sunday, same routine in the morning through lunch. Then after lunch, we get everybody together, again, inviting all the donors and sponsors and volunteers to come back. We get some certificates out. We have a few other things that we like to do for everybody. And then all of the veterans who are in the program have to take everything down and take everything apart that we've done and put everything back to make it look better than when we got there. And then we leave about 3 o'clock.
Wow. So it really is a multi-day intensive program.
It certainly is. Now, some of the times when the groups are in their little private little discussion with our clinician, we, the staff, will then take the volunteers and the family members, we take them into the arena with the horses, and we actually let them do some of the activities that all of the participants have done, so they get a hands-on feeling of what they're going through. Mm-hmm. That certainly goes a long way to help with some of the discussions of the families at night when they go back home or to their hotels.
Yeah, because they've got that shared experience that they can
Absolutely.
Talk about. And I wanted to, I think I read this in the materials, but all of the activities are unmounted. Is that right?
That is correct. We are totally a ground therapy program. So at no time during those 3 days will there be any riding involved.
Yeah. And I love that you combine those activities with the work around a farm, because just speaking personally as a horse person who grew up taking care of my horses, there is so much more involved in caring for horses than just riding. And I think everyone in the audience knows that. But there's a lot of healing to be had too, just by grooming your horses, being with them, mucking stalls, building things. You know, there's a lot of healing just in that hands-on work in the horse atmosphere. And I love that you incorporate that.
Yes, every day too. They have to feed, water, groom, and muck.
Yes.
On Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as well. So they'll do all of that in the morning and then again in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So they'll each pick a horse that they identify with, and that's, quote, their horse for the 3 days.
Awesome. I wanted to ask you, so as horse people, we know how healing horses can be for us. But for your participants who might have challenges like PTSD, how do the horses help them? Can you share a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, we all know again, all of us who have been in the equine world, how much therapy we get and what the effects of the horse are and the power of the horse. So we use the horses with all of our veterans in active duty as a vehicle to help them change and to identify some of the things that they're dealing with. One of the biggest things in the military is you never say no and you never question. When you're given an order, you execute. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, those who have spent so much time in the military, it's hard for them to admit or ask for help once they've gotten out. So some of the exercises in particular, one that we do very early on, is partially designed to help them understand that it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to reach out and seek assistance from somebody else. And that it's okay to say, I need help. Mm-hmm. And those are some of the biggest things with our PTSD and some of the emotional challenges that people are and veterans that are suffering with have such a hard time with. And that carries over to family situations, relationships, work, kids, whatever it is that they're struggling with. So once we get past that layer of the onion and they all realize it's okay to ask for help, a lot of breakthroughs then start to occur. Because that one individual who may have been holding back, who finally says, hey, wow, it's okay to ask for help, somebody else will say, well, I thought I was the only one with that issue, but I see I'm not the only one on that island. And mm-hmm. once they realize they're not alone, there's a tremendous amount of bonding that really starts from that point forward for the rest of the program.
And I think that's what's so insidious about a lot of mental health challenges is that we tend to build our own walls and then we become isolated behind our own walls. And then we think we're the only ones and no one can help me and I'm all alone and I have to handle it. But what you're talking about is how to break down those walls and that horses are helping to do that.
That's correct.
Yeah.
The power of the horse is far beyond what those not in the horse world even realize.
Absolutely. So we're coming up on the end of our segment, but so your program has not gotten to be with us at an equine affair before. We are hoping next time we have an in-person equine affair that we can have you all as guests and participants. So could you talk a little bit about how you might bring Operation Horses and Heroes to Equine Affair and what an activity might look like?
Sure. We were going to come to 2020, but we all know what happened with that, mm-hmm. just like 2021. Mm-hmm. So when we are able to do it in person, we have one of our facilities has already offered to bring some of their horses. We're going to not only just have a booth somewhere at the site, but we're going to do free evolutions with any veteran who wants to come. We're actually going to put them through some of the actual exercises and evolutions that we do in a program, and we're going to host those for free at Equine Affair.
That's awesome. I think that would be so fun to watch. And then if you're a veteran or active duty or family member and you're at Equine Affair, you can participate in that. I think that's amazing.
Absolutely. And we encourage for anybody who's listening, if anybody just wants to come and see what we're all about, we're doing four programs in 2021 right now. We've got May in Illinois, June in Michigan, August in Kentucky, and September in Idaho are already on the books for 2021. So if anybody's even interested to see what we're doing, considering sponsoring, donating, or hosting, or if there's any veteran who wants to attend, all they have to do is contact us.
Yeah. And so let's go ahead and share. So how can people learn more? How can they contact you?
To contact us, it's very simple. You can send an email to info at operationhorsesandheroes.org. Or you can contact me direct at area code 847-529-5205. And I'm in the Chicago suburbs on Central Standard Time.
Wonderful. Well, Jerry, it has been an absolute pleasure getting to hear from you and learn from you today. So thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Allison, for having me and for having Operation Horses and Heroes as a part of Equine Affair. We really look forward to it.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to the day that we can be back in person again and celebrate the horse.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. So thank you, everyone, for listening, and tune in next time. Thanks for listening to the official Equine Affair podcast. I am your host, Allison Renborg. Equine Affair gratefully acknowledges its sponsors, Absorbeam, U.S. Equestrian, Rods, Farnham, Cosequin, Nutrina, Cashman's, Horizon Structures, and GGT Footing. We hope you'll join us for our virtual Equine Affair in Ohio event, which will take place April 8th through 11th, 2021, online at equineaffair.com. We also invite you to mark your calendars for November 11 through 14, 2021, as we return to West Springfield, Massachusetts for Equine Affair in Massachusetts, and for April 7 through 10, 2022 in Columbus, Ohio. You can buy tickets, see the full event schedules, and all the latest news at equineaffair.com. And finally, please catch up on all our past podcasts online by visiting equineaffair.com/home/podcast.